Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Now, social media and modern technologies have eased entry into the world of telling stories, right? Sharing ideas and expressing thoughts through creative visual content to a wide audience. We can all be writers, creatives, and publishers now. I mean, everybody's got access to a social media account where they can do some writing. Now, this means that when it comes to creating content for evangelism and discipleship, the role is no longer restricted to clergy, you know, and theologians and other trained professionals. No, even you, my dear friend, can become a missionary on the online platforms. And to talk to us more on this one is evangelist Anesu Chogogoza, who joins us now on the line to talk to us on how we can be digital evangelists and online ministers. Good afternoon to you, sir, and welcome to the Maranatha Drive.
Hey, good afternoon to you, and I am happy to be here. Good afternoon to your audience as well.
Thank you so much, trusting that we find you well on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday.
Indeed, a beautiful one. I am doing well. I hope you're also fine.
No, we're okay. Thank you. And thanks for joining us as we look at this very important and pertinent subject, right? A fitting conversation in our social media lit world. And I think it becomes key to say, how can we use that even for the Lord? Now, let's start with churches. How can churches create engaging content for digital evangelism?
Absolutely. It is an interesting fact that whenever someone is visiting a church or is interested about a church, before they visit, it's been established that they would search for that church. And I'm sure you've had a time where you wanted to visit a new church and you check them out online. Therefore, it's imperative for churches not only to have an online presence, but to also have content that people can then engage with to get a better idea of what they're about online. So it's very important.
Yeah. And how do we get them to not feel like, because sometimes I think that's what the challenge is, where churches feel like if they go online, they'll then give an opportunity and open a leeway for people to not come physically, because church in the traditional mindset is you must go to a physical location. But if you have an online presence, an online platform, then somehow you almost like open up to people, say, no, guys, you don't have to come. Here's a platform for you. How do we balance that? That is not necessarily taking away that importance of still being there physically, but now you're just increasing the reach, if you will.
No, absolutely, a very valid point. And we cannot negate online content because of the abuse of the privilege. Someone once said that even water can be abused. There's a lady that drank so much water that she ended up passing away. I mean,
oh my.
But every good thing needs to be done responsibly. So with regards to the content that we create as churches online, and we're speaking beyond just live streams on the day of worship, we also need to keep in mind that this content is created targeting people that are not yet in church.
That would
then be the primary target audience. And should you find yourself consuming online content, you are then perhaps the secondary recipient of that content. So whenever we create content, whenever we go live on our church YouTube pages and social media platforms, our minds should always think of the person who's hearing this for the first time.
Okay. I like that. And it's quite key, as you mentioned that, because I think that's where we sometimes struggle, that we're not sure who are we speaking to. And we think, no, we're just addressing everybody who can be tuning in, even our very own listeners. Whereas, like you're saying, it's very key that we're targeting those who are not yet part of the fold, that they have an easier, almost like way to get in touch and to get acquainted with the church. I want us to follow up that, this idea of the people who are joining in, and that's the target audience out there. To say, how do we bring this idea of church? Because what I picked up is, obviously, being media, you'd have to prep, you have to make sure the lighting is good, you have to make sure that the content also is somewhat par excellence, and the way people speak and how they dress and what's in the ambiance is nice and appealing. How do we make sure we don't go over into gospeltainment, as they would say, right? That it's no longer just about the message. We almost trying to have a performance. And by the way, is there something wrong, perhaps, as you speak to that, with having entertaining gospel, or to be that prepared as well? Is there a need to draw a balance somewhere?
Absolutely important point, and I'm glad you raised this. So the pitfall that one can fall into as a content producer, or as, you know, someone responsible for the production of church or religious content, is the, you know, the issue of stressing over expensive equipment and perhaps methodologies that will perhaps either dilute or, you know, mess the purity of the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a very fine line that we have to tread. I want to make this disclaimer first and foremost, that our God is a God of order, and he expects nothing short of excellence from us. Because in the same breath, the danger would then be, man, bring your phone. Let's use that to stream. As long as we are doing it, God would then sort the rest out, which is a pitfall that I would advise no one to fall into. We really need to be intentional about what the worldly standards are in terms of quality. Because what happens on the digital landscape is that one phone, one user, with millions of content fighting for this person's attention. And our brains are wired in such a way that when something is not appealing in terms of quality, audio, visuals, it's so easy to scroll past that, despite the message perhaps being the strongest. So it's of the utmost importance that quality be added to, and that we also find methodologies that are relevant to people that are online. Now, entertainment is something altogether different.
Okay.
I always like to say that we can never beat the world at being like the world. So let the word of God do the cutting. Let that be what we raise up, and let's present it in a way that is interesting, in a way that is palatable, in a way that we include storytelling. And I think we'll speak about the type of content as we go. One's personal testimony, infusing storytelling into our narrative so that it's interesting and people can then relate to a story. People are very cold to hard facts, but once you infuse that with a story, of which we get many in the Bible, you find that there's interest. So that, coupled with the highest quality possible, would then result in proper digital evangelism in terms of the content that is created. And then entertainment, I think we know what the line is, and perhaps we can try and define the line in the coming days.
All right.
But for now, I would say let's stick to the word and let that be our standard.
No, thank you for that. And I thanks for that clarity. And I like that quote, that statement you brought up, right, to say, when you talk about being like the world, we can never beat the world. Let them be the world. In fact, what the world is looking for is the difference, is it not? It's not looking for more worldly-like content that is different. No, it's looking for something totally different as a whole. As a whole.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the Christian faith. In the faith, and even in some of the Adventist circles as well, there are many platforms that all claim to preach truth, right? I mean, if you open a YouTube platform or a Facebook or whatever it is, a social media space, TikTok and them, you will find that gospel content or Christian content is in the multitude, in the thousands of videos, right? And if you're looking for it, you won't be running amiss. But they're not really aligned with one another. And even if they are the same denomination or the same faith, on a theological basis, usually they're speaking contrary to one another. How can audiences then responsibly select safe and reliable platforms to follow? Because right now we look at, okay, you said Anesu's got a video. Okay, how many views does he have? Okay, maybe then that's what's popular. That's what I'll follow. Or, hey, I like this guy, how he sounds or how he dresses. Therefore, that's what I follow, which might not be the best method to discern. What would be the best way you can advise our listeners today?
Very good question. And I think it's an important one as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible urges us, first and foremost, let me put it this way. When one seeks for truth with all their heart, God directs them to truth. So I don't want us to take away the spiritual element or aspect of this work of the gospel before we can recommend content, before we can create content, before we can log on to YouTube. God is there through the Holy Spirit guiding us to the rightful content that he then wants us to watch. But then we can't leave it at that. We have to also be careful and discerning in what we expose ourselves to. And the book of Matthew 24 is the famous chapter in the Bible that speaks about the signs of the times. And you find that Jesus spends a lot of time in that chapter speaking about, or rather warning against, deception, which means that the days that we are living in, there's going to be lots of deception. Now, the way we can then sift the content that we are exposed to properly is by being students of the word ourselves. So what I would then encourage our audience to do, whenever you watch something, verify it with the word. Don't take a video or someone's research or someone's, you know, proposition as the word of God. Go back to the word. If someone opens a verse and explains it, go to that word, pray over the verse and read it. And a lot of the time, God, through the Holy Spirit, is doing this phenomenal work where he's leading us into the truth. The book of John tells us that he will lead us into the truth. He will convict us of sin and he will teach the world of righteousness. So I would want to also suggest that when you find something fanciful, something unique, find a trustful source, a trustworthy person that you can also say, hey, I've found this. What do you think about it? And I think there's a lot of safety in the multitude of counselors, as the Bible tells us. But the very standard that we should use is the word of God. And we should also use those who are of experience around us and those who are godly and trustworthy as we go through online content. Otherwise, as Jesus warns in the book of Matthew 24, we will be deceived.
Oh, and we need to be careful about that, don't we? We need to be careful indeed. Thank you so much for that. And I like that it applies across the board. It's not like somebody or you're recommending a tool which others can't access. No, it's about the word of God, which if you're saying you're a seeker or a believer or whoever you are, you can get access to that to say, hey, this person. And I like the spirit. I think it's Paul who writes in or speaks of this in Acts, where Luke writes in 17:11, the Bereans, right, who would accept the word with eagerness, but yet would go home and say, let me check if this thing that was being said by this guy is actually what he said it to be.
Absolutely. You'll find that in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 10. And I think you need to be like the Bereans, who would not take it, you know, as they hear it, but they definitely would then go pray about it. Because the other thing is also we reduce the gospel truth to intellectualization, where it's a matter of, you know, of who's smarter, who has a stronger argument. Pray about it. Come to the word empty and be willing to be taught, to be rebuked, to be guided and instructed. And I definitely agree with you to say that we need to be like the Bereans.
Certainly. Let's wrap it up with some practicality, right? Share with us some of those practical steps, you know, that content creators out there and audiences can take to avoid getting into online culture wars, and instead of keeping their eye on the real prize, this Jesus message.
No, that's lovely, and I'm happy that we get to cover that point as well. So a few pointers that I would want to give out is that, in fact, did you know that when you go on Google, this is open to everyone to use. There's what is called Google Keywords,
okay,
where you are shown the stats of what people are searching for. And the top three topics that emerge is politics, celebrities, and religion, which shows you that there's a lot of interest into truth. But as we create content and engage with content and even engage with people in the comment sections, as we like to do, we need to be careful that our content and our engagement is not over doctrinal disputes.
Okay.
That's not the place where you want to start in creating content or engaging with people online. Doctrine is so diverse in the way it's interpreted that while you may be so convinced that your interpretation is the right one, you may lose creating a connection with your audience or with people that are in the comment section. So you always want to speak from the love of Jesus. You want to speak from the simplest of truths, that Jesus died for us. Jesus is coming back to fetch us. Jesus wants to give us power to live a life that is pleasing to God. And as you speak about these topics, that is the gospel truth, the how to do so would make even more sense as you then apply the doctrine, instead of getting to a point where you say, hey, did you know the dead are not really dead? And, you know, and that time you're telling this to someone who has posted a Sangoma video. You know what I mean? What I'm saying is, while we should uphold the truth, let's do so tactfully. Let's do so in a way that would avoid argument, in a way that would avoid debate. So I would definitely encourage the audience not to engage in doctrinal disputes before the time. Okay. I would also want to encourage our audience to stay clear of political agendas, political topics, partisan conversations. Yes, prophecy may point to a lot of politics, but let's make sure that the word of God is upheld, and the word of God is the one that gives the authority, and it shouldn't then be used to say, hey, this party is where it's at, or that party is bringing the end of the world. Let the word of God be the ultimate authority, and let's not find ourselves in political speculation and the entertainment of conspiracy theories. And again, I also would want to engage the audience to inform them that when we speak science, ensure that the things that you speak and spread online, whether through content or engaging with others, are factual. You know, ensure that you know what you are speaking about should you make a scientific claim, because there are scientists out there and there are people that may know the topic, and you lose your credibility when you make, untruthful claims. Therefore, you then lose credibility to even share God's word. So I think we get back to the same point, which is let the word of God speak for itself. Let politics alone. Let religious debates and doctrinal wars on one side, and really preach the love of Jesus, which would then lead the people to the how. And that's when the Bible starts to instruct on its own as to what ought to be done and what ought not to be done. I hope that answer gives an idea of what to stay clear of.
No, certainly, certainly. And I like that initial example you gave. And not even about the Sangoma, right? We see somebody post, hey, my loved one just passed away, but I'm so glad that they're in heaven watching over me. No, 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 no. They are not in heaven. They're dead. No, nothing. I'm like, okay, my friend, I think good spirit, but definitely wrong timing. That's not when they want to hear that.
I want to add just one more thing. Yeah. As we spread the gospel as digital evangelists, man, your phone is powerful. And I really want to encourage you today. Start today. You don't need a camera. You don't need expensive equipment. Post a verse on your status.
Yeah.
Encourage someone going through hardship and see how your audience will respond. And in doing so, I want us to follow the model that Jesus used, how tactful and how wise he was. And he encourages us to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Had Jesus preached the sermon he preached in Matthew chapter 24, when he gave warnings and woes to the Pharisees, had that been his first sermon, he definitely would have been killed without starting his ministry. But you find that he preaches the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, and he continues to teach the principles of God's kingdom until he got to a point where he needed to then drive these truths home and to rebuke and call people out of a life of sin. So we also need to have this strategy where we really share the truth in love. And a favorite author of mine says that before we get to rebuke people, we should be willing to die for those people as Jesus did. So love should be the motivating factor as we approach this work of collaboration with heaven for the finishing of the work.
Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. Are you willing to love them even to your own loss of life? And I think that's what John calls for, right? 1 John chapter 3:16, to say, just as Christ gave his life, we should be willing to lay our lives down for our brothers and sisters. Prof. Chukwugwiza, thank you so much for spending the time with us this afternoon. I appreciate the counsel. And I think he who has an ear has heard what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. And I thank you to everyone who's lent us an ear on this wonderful afternoon. Thank you for having me, and goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.